Monitor New York, your weekend sound on WNBC New York.
On this balmy mid-June evening, I say welcome. This is Monitor New York. My name is Wayne Howell. And in the next hour and a half, we hope to entertain you and delight you, maybe inform you as we come on. And I don't want to frighten you, but inform you. Just stick to the entertainment, and we'll work about the rest of it later. This Cross Over the Moon's Orchestra, My Honey's Love and Art. Up to What's Happening with me, Big Wilson, and the WNBC News staff. Find out what New York newsmakers were doing while you were asleep. Listen, then call Plaza 78866. Make your morning part of the day's big event. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on WNBC. In this half hour, we're going to be talking about smoking marijuana, and I think you'll find it very interesting. In addition, Bill Mazur talked to L.H. Whittemore recently, and he's the man who wrote the book called The Man Who Ran the Subways, and it's about Mike Quill, Fiery Mike Quill. Remember him? And we'll be talking to him a little later on in this half hour. Right now, I'd like to tell you to save the Super A discount way. This week, U.S. government-inspected grade A chicken, broilers, and fryers, whole up to £3.29 a pound. You'll find this super special at your neighborhood Super A discount food store, where savings happen every day. As you know, we weren't on last week because of the tragedy. But it was, believe it or not, if such a tragedy can be inspiring, some of the things that came out of that tragedy were very inspiring. Senator Kennedy's eulogy to his brother, for example. And there was one line that Senator Kennedy quoted about his brother that I think I'll keep in my mind for a long time. The line was, "Some men see things as they are and say, why? I dream things that never were and say, why not?" Now Bill Mazur talks to L.H. Whittemore about Mike Quill.
I was surprised. I didn't know that Quill had had a communist background.
Yes, well, early, you see, in right after the Depression, the Communist Party, Bill, had a good in. You know, they actually felt that capitalism was at its end, that the system that we had, that had risen our country up into such a great country, had finally seen its day of reckoning. And they moved in to organize various working classes now in key industries like communications and marine transport. And there were all these young Irishmen like Quill, ready to organize and get back into some kind of a rebellion. They had just come over from Ireland, many of them, and the communists had the same purpose, was unity, was some way in which they could control a great mass of workers, also use it as a vehicle to perhaps sign up new members. Now, the head of this, who was assigned to do the organizing, was a Hungarian, and John Santu, who eventually, after Quill kicked him out after a big fight, became Minister of Food in Hungary, one of the highest officials of communist Hungary. And then in 1956, when the Soviet tanks came in and shot down the people in the streets, Santu was one of the highest, was at the time the highest official to defect to the West, and is now back in the States. Now, he and Mike Quill, it was a strange marriage, I must say, because as Irish Catholics, anti-communism was almost Catholicism.
How did Quill reconcile Catholicism and communism?
Well, he said, you just don't, you leave my religion at home and my politics somewhere else, you know, in Rome, my religion in Rome, my politics at home. And he resolved it by the fact that he knew that the Communist Party had a great deal of organizational techniques. They had money, they had lawyers, they had press. They had all that was going for them in order to do the organizing. Now, they were the only segment of society willing to stand there and do the job that needed to be done in transit.
Would you call it opportunism on his part?
Sure, it was pragmatism, opportunism. And on their part, and then nobody knew quite whether Mike Quill was using the communists or they were using him. And eventually they had it out in 1948 and Quill won. But it was after a 14-year association.
Now, he appeared before the House and Americans Activities Committee.
That's right.
Martin Dies.
Ah, yes.
You know, Dies had a reputation for really, you know, being tough.
Sure. Well, he was from Texas, Dies, and so is Joe Poole, isn't he? The current chairman of the committee. And of course, we had McCarthy in between.
Yeah.
And Dies was one of the first, Quill was one of the first witnesses he had, for goodness sake. No, I take that back. The first witnesses were members of the union who accused Quill of being a communist. Finally, Mike got fed up in 1941, and he went down to Washington and just confused the whole committee. They asked him questions. He shot them back. By the time they got through, Quill got lifted up by the armpits, shouting, "Labor will live! Labor will live!" And he got hauled out of the committee room, and that was his last appearance. But Dies, he couldn't stand him.
Did Mrs. Quill is still alive?
Yes, the second wife.
Oh, well, she's the lady that during the transit strike that
That's
I became
right.
familiar with. That is, you know,
right.
Through
I think a lot of people did. She,
has she read the book?
I don't know. I really don't know. I went back to Ireland and talked to many of Quill's relatives and talked to many people who knew him and worked with him here in New York, but I never did get to see Mrs. Quill.
Are you of Irish descent?
Yes, partly.
The reason that I say it, there's a twinkle in your eye, though, Vigar, when you talk about Quill. You really like the man.
I think that you can't spend 2 years researching and getting involved. It's like getting married. It's like a courtship. And I went into it as a journalist, as one who was going to find, I said to myself over and over, what is known and what can be discovered about the man. And, you know, now I'm more or less filled with it. As I say, it's all that history, all that these men went through, and the man himself. If there were anybody I'd like to sit in a room with for an hour and just talk, Mike Quill would be high up on the list.
He didn't like Lindsay, did he?
No, Mr. Lindsley, as Mike said. And, you know, that was a deliberate thing to wear down John's resistance, the mayor's resistance. And I hear that the mayor in private turned to Mike and said, "Quinn." And Mike just smiled because he had finally gotten the mayor to play the game.
This interview is being conducted at a newly opened Carville store in the Eastern Shopping Center in Somerset, New Jersey. I'd like you to meet the new store owner. Your name, sir?
Peter Benizzotto.
Mr. Benizzotto, how long has this store been open?
Just 1 month today.
What sort of work did you do before you acquired a Carvel franchise store?
I was butcher all my life.
Are you satisfied now that you have your own Carvel store?
Yes, I'm happy.
Now you can own a Carvel 36-flavor ice cream store in some locations for as little as $5,000 cash. For information, write Department N, Carvel, Yonkers, New York, or phone 914-Y09-7200. That's 914-Y09-7200. You're on the monitor, New York Beacon. 20 minutes before 11, my name is Wayne Howell, and I have a symphony for Susan, sung by the Arbors.
If I could write a symphony for Susan,
with Symphony for Susan. Members of the New York State Food Merchants Association are part of the nationwide team of food stores that sell and deliver nearly $60 billion worth of food and groceries to American consumers every year. That's a big budget, but really a small part of America's expendable income. Customers in New York food stores, for example, spend only 19% of their income for food, as compared with 29% in England, 46% in Italy, and 50% in Russia. On Monitor New York here on WNBC, in a moment, we'll hear Richard Lauber and Ernest Fladell talking with Dr. Robert Baird on the telephone about smoking marijuana, or as they say in the vernacular, smoking pot. It never was one of my vices. However, each man has his own. Some people like to drink. Some people, I assume, like to smoke pot. Of course, some people say that drinking is really tougher on the system than the pot. I'm not for sure about that, but I do have one friend, for example, who was told by his doctor to quit whiskey if he wants to prolong his days. He said, you know something? You're right. I gave up drinking for 24 hours once and never put in such a long day in my whole life. Well, I don't know whether you have medical problems with pot or not. We'll find out perhaps in a moment. Prior to finding out, you remember Billy Joe and the old The Kingpins.
Thank you.
Smooth arrangement with the Kingpins of Ode to Billy Joe. And it's 13 minutes before 11. That's the WNBC time. Monitor, New York. And Bill Mazur had as his guests in the studio Richard Lauber and Ernest Liddell. And they talked on the telephone to a gentleman who has researched drugs and drug users. His name is Dr. Robert Baird.
Dr. Baird?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Ernie Fladell wants to say something to you first, and then I want to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Wall, you and I may have some differing views, and you are working with it somewhat differently than I consider marijuana. I want to be very clear that I'm not suggesting that people smoke marijuana or that kids smoke it or that it isn't a questionable practice. I just question some of the things that you're saying in terms of the intensity of what you're saying, and I'm questioning whether or not some of these kids who are smoking it and the effects that it's having on the kids are not innocuous. I'm also questioning the fear which this whole question of marijuana has raised among the parents because of the misinformation that they have about it. And I was particularly interested in Bill's question to you about the damage it causes, whether it's pharmacologically damaging, and I would like parents to know that it isn't. Would you...
Pharmacologically damaging, you know, water isn't pharmacologically damaging, but if you drink enough of the water, you know you can get sick, and if you swallow enough of it, you can drown. You know, so this type of reason I can't see. If you've got any drug which will alter one's sensorium, one's feelings, one's control of themselves, I think you've got a drug that has to be watched very critically and very carefully. And I put marijuana in this category.
But do you feel that, I'm again not part of the legalized pot movement. This is Richard speaking now. And
would you be willing to let a 12-year-old youngster smoke it?
No, I would not be willing to let a 12-year-old youngster smoke pot. I wouldn't be willing to let a 12-year-old youngster smoke cigarettes. I think there's a difference between use.
Now, you're not going to compare the smoking of a cigarette, which doesn't give you delusions or hallucinations, with marijuana.
Doctor,
right?
I just would like to distinguish between the use of a drug and the abuse of a drug. And I think that any drug, any kind of a drug, even if it's aspirin, has certain risks associated with it.
You're going to compare aspirin, the risk of aspirin, with one joint?
I'm not stating any kind of comparison such as that.
Well, then don't make the comparison.
That would be
for the audience to listen to this, sir.
I just wish you'd let me finish.
I'm trying to.
All I'm saying is that I feel that the people that abuse marijuana are in a minority as compared to all of those who use it, and I just feel that
anyone who takes one joint is abusing it immediately.
I don't agree with that, Doctor.
Well, that's
having
what
smoked
makes
it.
Ball games, sir.
Excuse me?
That's what makes ball games ball games.
What makes ball games the ball games are two teams who are willing to play with each other, Doctor, and I think that you're unwilling to play.
I'm not going to play with people's lives, sir. It's more important to me than to pay you lip service.
I think you're playing with people's lives when
you... What you think is generation gap. I'm worried about the gap of kids not living. That's more important to me. And
Scott,
I suggest very
strongly. Why don't
you
give some money to the Poor People's March in Washington? We'll help them out that way, too.
Well, that's all right. If you're willing to do that, more credit to you.
Well, I gave $5,000 last night, sir. What have you given?
Articulations that marijuana can be used and not abused, because you can't master any of these drugs. They will master you in the long run.
I beg to differ with you about that, just from the point of view of myself and my friends.
You smoke it?
I have smoked it, and I haven't smoked it now in several months, largely because of all this publicity that has occurred.
Why did you have to smoke it?
Excuse me?
Why did you have to smoke it?
Why did I have to smoke it?
Yeah.
I smoked it because I was curious about it. I smoked it several years ago. I wanted to find out what it was all about.
Have
I
you
found
ever
it to be a very...
Jump off from the fourth story window to see the thrill that you get?
Doctor, I can't answer you if you don't let me finish. I smoked it for much the same reasons that I was interested in trying drinking alcohol when I first began to drink, and I found that in my leisure when I was going to would possibly have a drink, I found that I preferred to smoke marijuana.
That's your hang up in your leisure. Do something productive instead of waste time drinking and smoking.
I think I do many productive things, Doctor. I don't see how you can talk about that.
Well, you just said
in
your leisure, so that's enough for me. If you haven't got anything more constructive than you have to drink in your free time, then devote some of your time to helping kids up here in Harlem how to read and write English, and I think you do a lot better.
This interview is being conducted at a newly opened Carvel store in the Regal Park section of Long Island. Your name, ma'am?
Mary McVay.
How long has this store been opened?
We opened the store at the beginning of May.
What sort of work did you do before you acquired a Carvel franchise store?
I was a housewife.
And your husband?
He was in construction.
Are you satisfied now that you have your own Carvel store?
Very much so. My husband and I looked around at various businesses before going to Carvel. We liked their setup and the support we would always receive from being part of the 3660 family. So we decided to open up the store, and servicing our customers is very, very rewarding.
Now you can own a Carvel 36 flavor ice cream store in some locations for as little as $5,000 cash. For information, write Department N, Carvel, Yonkers, New York, or telephone 914-Y09-7200. 914-Y09-7200. Just before the commercial, you heard Richard Lauber and Ernest Fidel in the studio talking to Dr. Robert Baird on the telephone about smoking pot. I have one question to ask you. Where did they get the name pot? You see, I'm fearless. I don't mind asking questions. Fearless. That's a funny one. As Tallulah Bankhead once said, I'm not afraid of anything except crossing the street, waking up, and my own shadow. Central Park Mall is the scene of a music happening tomorrow. Two well-known recording groups, the Abbey Singers and the Horace Arnold Jazz Quintet, are featured artists in this free Sounds of Sunday concert from 3 to 5 p.m. It'll be presented by the New York Committee of Young Audiences. I'm serious about that. I really don't know where the name pot came from. I've heard it for years, but I just don't know what it means. It's another name for marijuana. Here's the voice of Barbra Streisand, A Taste of Honey.
Cold winds may blow. He will return I'll leave behind my heart to wear, and may it ever remind you of a taste of honey, a taste much sweeter than
How do you know when you've got a winner? When you've got a lot of imitators, that's how. And that's happening right now to the famous, authentic, original Yago Sangria wine drink from Spain. Monsieur Henri has been frankly astonished at how quickly Americans have snapped up Yago Sangria, the rich, racy, tangy Spanish fruit and wine drink. Monsieur Henri is concerned that you might be confused by the imitations that have been flocking into the marketplace. Really, there's no reason for you to accept anything less than the best. The real thing, Yago Sangria. There's probably only a 50-cent difference in the cost, but what a difference in enjoyment. Only Yago Sangria combines that delicious red Santiago Rioja wine and zesty citrus juices into an unbeatable elixir. Drink it on the rocks, add a slice of fresh orange. You'll know from the first sip that Yago Sangria is the real one, the one you want at any price. That's Yago Sangria, imported by Monsieur Henri Wines Limited, New York, New York. Exclusively.
I have time here to give you a thought for the half hour. I'm just reading here in the paper that a clock is going to be installed in the Leaning Tower of Pisa. You see, what good is it if you have the inclination but not the time? Here's Lapland, the B&O marching band.
Monitor New York, your weekend sound on WNBC New York.
This is Wayne Howell. I'll be back with several outstanding features in the next hour here on Monitor New York, and I hope you'll stay tuned. It's now 11 o'clock, and it's time for all the news. After the news, more Monitor New York.